The Press X1 podcast wouldn't be capable without good old ProvenGamer.com. Always remember that Proven Gamer is looking for writers, podcasters, video editors, and news reporters. We also have to thank our sponsors, Amazon, GoFundMe, and Extra Life.
You can listen to our other podcasts, BG Spoilers, Trophy Horrors, The Bladed Tech Show. And you can reach us at Twitter at PressX2WinPodcast, at Trophy Horrors, or at Proven Gamer.
And remember, you can always join the conversation on www.facebook.com/groups/PressX2WinPodcast. Now, let's go. So, Jake, there's, like, this mod out, and I saw it's $99. So, like, that means it's a good mod. I guess it's called Gargantuan Genitals, something like that, or Ginormous Genitals.
Oh, Gargantuan Genitals mod. Yeah, it's definitely worth $99.
$99.
It must be good. It's $99, right?
I mean, generally, you know, I'm not an expert on these things, but when things are high-priced, it usually means they're good, right?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, the more expensive something is, the better it is. I mean, look at every EA game.
Get what you pay for.
Exactly.
That's why every EA game is $70 at launch.
Exactly. Well, I mean, it's $70 unless you want to get all the DLC, in which case it's like, what, $90, $80, something like that.
The answer's too much, Jake.
Yeah, the answer's too fucking much. That's the answer.
So, I'm in a better mood this week, but Jake's not. Welcome to Press X to Win episode 9?
Yeah,
9!
We're almost to 10.
Episode 9! Well, I don't know why that's funny to me, but it is. We'll go with you, Jake, because I know you've been playing less than I have. What have you been playing, Jake?
This week, more Mortal Kombat, just a couple old games on my PC, some Hearthstone. You know, I've just been busy with school, so I haven't really played much this week. Mostly been reading news. Horrible, horrible news.
Which we'll get to. Did you know that Trine 3... it's coming out, and there's apparently a fucking early access for Trine, even though Trine's never had early access. What the fuck?
I didn't know there was a Trine 3 coming out. I'm not surprised there's an early access, because everyone does fucking early access, so they can get paid for the video games without finishing the fucking video
games. Holy shit, it's 3D.
That happens all the goddamn time on early access.
It's got a full, like a back round plane and a front round plane. I don't know how to say that, but it looks really cool. Anyways, sorry to interrupt. But anything else, Jake? Nothing? You didn't play anything?
No.
You've been... not gaming.
Just been playing the same stuff that I've been playing.
You've been playing that shitty game that we're not going to talk about.
Yeah, the game you don't like.
Yeah. No, you know what's funny? Is the guy who owns the website, he doesn't like it either. So, obviously I'm not wrong.
I guess I'm all by myself.
Yeah.
It's alright.
Pretty much. That's why we stopped doing reviews. Because Mortal Kombat broke the goddamn review scale.
Yeah, it was too good.
Good joke. I decided to spend some money on the PlayStation Store this week because there's nothing really coming out until Witcher 3 that I'm super interested in, and this is like my last 3 weeks of class, so I just wanted like some casual stuff to play every now and then. So I bought Shovel Knight, which is the greatest 2D platformer ever made. The greatest 2D platformer ever made. I guess it's not really necessarily a platformer, but so I've been playing that game like nonstop. I think I'm like 5 or 6 hours in. I just killed Kratos, and when you kill Kratos, you get like a shovel version of Kratos' weapons. So you just become the God of War in Shovel Knight, and it's just so badass. Like, I just feel so cool when I'm playing that game now. I'm like 2 bosses away from the end. I have the Propeller Knight, I think, and the Enchantress, who's like the main girl. Then I also bought this game called Ziggurat, which no one I know knows anything about it. I saw a video Giant Bomb did, and that was the reason that made me buy it. They're playing it, and it looked really entertaining. It looked kind of like Tower of Guns, like the idea of what Tower of Guns was supposed to be. I felt like that's what Ziggurat is. Like, Tower of Guns is a really cool idea. Like, a first-person roguelike where you're going through different levels, fighting bosses and enemies and stuff, and, like, it's procedurally generated. That sounds like a pretty cool thing. Tower of Guns just fucking sucks. Like, Ziggurat, I don't know what the hell I was going to say. Ziggurat is, like, a lot more in-depth, like, the levels change a lot more, I feel like, and you can always have four weapons, so you're not stuck with one weapon like in Tower of Guns, which I think is fucking stupid. Like, having one gun is really boring. And I just, like, I've had so much fun, like, there's so much enemy variety. I beat the game on easy, I'm working on normal now. But I hate roguelikes. Like, I hate Binding of Isaac. I really hate Rogue Legacy. I really don't like roguelike type games, and this game has completely changed my mind on roguelikes. Like, I've just had so much fun. I mean, a first-person roguelike, like, where your main weapon is a wand, and then, like, you get, like, different things. Like, there's a book that's kind of like a shotgun, and that's your second weapon. Then you have a staff that's kind of like an assault rifle. It shoots, like, a bunch of different bullets, and there's a bunch of different assault rifles. I think I've seen, like, five different assault rifles. And then your final slot can be either, like, a rocket launcher or, like, a grenade that you throw, and you have a bunch of them. And it's just hella fun. Like, you saw me,
yeah,
playing it the other
day. I watched you stream it. It actually looked like a lot of fun. I'm just thinking about checking it out.
Yeah, it's really cool. For like $15 on the PlayStation Store, the Xbox One Marketplace, whatever the hell they call it. I say it's worth it. It's awesome. Like, as soon as I finish Shovel Knight, I've just gotten into Shovel Knight to the point where I can't get out of it. Like, I just want to play more and more every time I play Shovel Knight. And so I'm just going to play through Shovel Knight, and then I'm going to go back to Ziggurat and keep playing, probably up until Wolfenstein The New Order, or the Old Blood, that's what it's called, right? The Old Blood comes out. So this is like a game that I think I'll be playing for a while, at least until Old Blood, and then eventually Witcher 3, which I am fucking so goddamn hyped for, like, holy shit.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot.
Like, originally I was like, it just looks like a prettier version of Dragon Age Inquisition, but then there's been hella videos coming out, and the combat looks amazing, the world looks amazing, there's quests in videos they've shown for Witcher, like side quests, that look better than any of the main story quests I did in Inquisition. Like, that game is just fucking in-depth and amazing, and I'm just so hyped for it. It almost reminds me of Game of Thrones, like...
The game's gonna be pure fucking quality.
Oh yeah. And it's nice because it comes out right after my finals, so I'm just gonna play Witcher 3 for all of summer, and it's gonna be amazing. I'm fucking so excited. When that comes out, we're gonna be pretty hype. I've been playing one more other thing. On Thursday, we usually record on Friday. On Thursday, we had the DLC for Mario Kart come out, which added, 8 tracks, all of them pretty high quality, look really good. A few of them are from previous games, but they, like, get a little bit of a graphic boost and a little bit different feel to them. But the main thing they added was 200cc.
This shit's crazy.
It's fucking insane. It's so crazy. Like, basically, like, I was playing... You remember Baby Park from GameCube?
Yeah.
And you got 7 laps? I kid you not, I did those 7 laps in less than 2 minutes. On 200cc. Like, that's how crazy it is. It's just like... I think maybe it might have been less than a minute. That's how quick it was. It was insane. Like, and it's so impossible to turn. Like, I've been using... like, I'll use Shy Guy with, like, the fastest cart, so I have a really good acceleration. And, like, I'll start off and I'll be like, you know, boogieing a little bit. But then you hit a turn, you're like, fuck, I gotta brake, shit, fuck! And I fell off the edge and you lose your 3 coins. But that shit's insane. Like, I don't know if I'll ever play that again just because it's too fast. Like, it's so fucking fast.
Gotta go fast.
It's too fast for Mario Kart, though. But then they added 3 more characters. Like, one thing I'll say about Nintendo is, you know, they don't do DLC very often, but Mario Kart's DLC packages have just been fucking amazing. Like, absolutely fucking amazing. Like,
yeah, you get like 6 tracks and 3 characters.
I got 8 tracks in the last one and 3 characters, and 8 tracks and 3 characters in this one. Plus, you also got a whole new game mode in 200cc. So, I mean, think about it. I mean, the original game had 4 times 8 is math.
32.
And then 8 plus 8 is 16. So you get, for $12, you got 16 tracks and 6 characters and a whole new game mode. That's how you price DLC. That's how you price DLC. You got almost half of what you got for $60 in the game for fucking $12. I just can't get over it. It blows my mind that Nintendo's like, hey, you know, we don't really understand DLC, so $12, and here's all this shit you get.
We don't understand how to give you, like, only one thing for $15, and that thing's a poor quality. So we're just gonna give you, like, a bunch of high-quality shit for a really low price. And
I know, it's just amazing.
Let's hope that shit doesn't change.
Oh my god, I'm just dumbfounded how good the quality of the DLC is for that game. Like, keep it up, Nintendo. Good fucking job. Seriously, the best DLC I've ever played, by far, is the Mario Kart DLC. Maybe one of the Fallout DLCs, but this is by far past my expectations. I mean, I don't play this a lot with a lot of people because, you know, I go to college and a lot of my other friends are very busy, and you live all the way in Santa Clara, which is far away from where I live. That doesn't have anything to do with anything, but it's far away from where I live.
Yeah.
And, so I don't play this a lot when I'm not by myself, but, I mean, for $12, I got at least an hour or two out of it, and if I ever go to people's houses and bring the Wii U, I have, you know, this more gameplay.
Yeah, you got all this extra variety and shit.
It's great. It's fucking phenomenal compared to, like, you know, stuff other people are doing.
speaking of DLC, I just want to say something about it, is that I think it's kind of funny that when you go to buy when you go to buy any game now, and you go in and they're like, do you want to buy the season pass? And, you know, it just seems like a no-brainer when you're buying a season pass, because it's like, oh, I'm getting all the DLC that's gonna come out for a cheaper price, right? So I'm getting it in a bundle. But what that really comes down to, what I've realized, is you're actually just pre-ordering DLC.
Yep.
Because you don't know how good that's going to be. And sometimes you don't even know exactly what the DLC is, but you're paying for it up front. And if I remember right, you can't really – can you even get refunds when you buy season passes?
I've never gotten a refund. I've gotten a refund on some digital games because they sucked a dick. But, I never have gotten a refund on a season pass. Like, I got the Shadow of Mordor season pass, which I really didn't enjoy at all personally. I hated it. I thought both DLCs were garbage. But I never, like, tried, and I know you can't, because it says on PlayStation specifically...
No refunds.
Refunds. And I mean, the refunds I've gotten are usually been on, like, $10, $15 games that were just flat out fucking broken. Like, I bought Metal Slug 3 at one point when it came out on PSN, because I love Metal Slug, and Metal Slug's awesome. But the online was just flat-out broken. Like, just didn't work. You couldn't get online, so I mean, they gave me my money back, and that's some of the money I actually used to buy Shovel Knight.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's why they do it, like, when you go to GameStop and you're like, and they're like, yeah, buy the season pass, blah, 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 and then they only give you a code, they don't actually give you anything, and then you put in the code, and then you get it online that way, and then, you know, in the digital stores, they always say no refunds for any digital purchases, so it's like you're pre-ordering something, but unlike a game where you can go and get your money back before you buy it, like your pre-order deposit, you can't get the money back from buying a season pass. So, I mean, that's really what it is, just pre-ordering DLC. It's kind of shitty. It's actually really shitty. And I would not condone anyone do it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I used to buy season passes all the time when I bought games, and recently, I got burned a few times, and so I was like, you know what, once I beat a game, then I will, you know, buy the season pass, and that's what I've been doing.
Unless you're getting, like, a collector's edition that has it thrown in there, just don't go out and buy season passes.
Exactly. Yeah. I completely agree with you, man. Like, I don't buy season passes. I bought the Dying Light season pass because, honestly, if you ask me, two of my favorite games on PlayStation 4 since it launched are Dying Light and Wolfenstein The New Order. Those are my two favorite games I've played on PlayStation 4. And
besides Bloodborne, obviously.
I don't know. I really love Bloodborne, but I can't find myself wanting to go back to it now that I've beaten it.
See, that's a problem I've heard. That's a problem I've heard with Bloodborne, is that the other Souls games had a lot of stuff to bring you back. Even Dark Souls 2, that wasn't as good as Demons or Dark Souls 1, had a lot of, like, the PvP and Covenant stuff to bring you back. But I've heard from a lot of people that for Bloodborne, it's like, oh, I beat it, and I found all the shit on my first playthrough, and I don't really feel like, you know, making new builds or anything, because you can't really make a new build.
I mean, no, yeah, exactly. Like, I only missed one boss when I played through it. I missed, like, Amidala or something like that, and I have no want to go to the area, because I've heard the area where Amidala is just covered in a bunch of patches, guys, which are the dudes with all the eyes who just frenzy you to fucking death. And I don't even want to fuck with those guys. Like, I just don't want to do it. So, you know, I haven't had a want to go back. And I wanted to do Chalice Dungeons, but recently that patch came out that makes it so loading is a lot less, so maybe I'll go back and play Chalice Dungeons and stuff. Once I finish Shovel Knight and get tired of Ziggurat, which I don't know if I'll ever get tired of Ziggurat. That game's fucking phenomenal. Oh my god, like, if you see that game on any store, just buy it. It's so good. Like, I don't even like roguelikes, and I think that game is so cool. Like I'll be playing it, and I'll have, like, 10 or 12 people come in and just watch me play who just think it's really interesting.
Yeah, it was just really cool to watch. I don't know. It just had a really nice vibe to it.
Yeah, it gets a little laggy sometimes, though, on consoles. That's one thing I noticed. So, which one do you want? Which one of these topics do you want to do first, Jake? Do you want to do the angry one or the ones that kind of make us excited?
Let's do the angry one.
Okay.
You know, let's start it off with the angry one and then move on to things that make us happy.
Okay, by all means.
Especially because we were just talking about DLC and this is similar.
Okay, by all means, this one is all you. You are the PC gamer. I don't even have a PC that can run games. So you can lead it off and I'll comment as we go.
Yeah, okay. So for those of you that don't know, Steam is working with Bethesda now. So Valve is working with Bethesda to sell Skyrim mods.
That was a joke at the beginning, you know, if you didn't get it.
Yeah. that was the joke in the beginning about the $99 giant genital mod. That is a thing. You can buy mods on Steam. Now, the problem is these mods were all free for a while. And now a lot of these authors are moving to be for paid mods. And it sounds fine at first, you know, you're thinking about it and it's like, well, modders spend a lot of time making these. Some of them are really high quality and the only way to compensate them were voluntary donations or to give them money through their Patreon accounts. And you know, Valve's getting a cut of it because they're hosting the service. They've got Steam and Bethesda gets a cut because it's their intellectual property and they're providing the mod tools. So that all sounds fucking dandy on paper, right? Except it's not fucking dandy when you read the fine print. So these modders are, they knew about this weeks ahead of time. And a lot of them hyped up new features for their mods and stuff like that among the mod community. And then as soon as the news dropped, they pulled all their mods from the free websites and then posted them in the Steam Workshop. And it requires money to use them, obviously. And they had those new versions. So they hyped you up, didn't tell you that you were going to have to pay. And then were like, oh, you know, all those new features you were excited for? Fuck you, pay me. And there's like a pay what you want option for it, but it's not like I can pay 1 cent. It's the author decides the bare minimum, and some of them are like, the bare minimum for my mod is $3, but you can pay me more if you want. And the fucking mod's like just a weapon retexture. It's ridiculous. It's fucking stupid. Not to mention the modders don't get to cash out until I think they hit like it was $400 in sales. Until they can cash out, whereas they only get 25% of every mod sold. So if they're selling a mod for $1, they're only getting 25 cents of that, and Valve and Bethesda split 75% of that. So they get 75 cents to split between them, which doesn't seem like a big fucking deal until you realize Bethesda makes really shitty fucking games that are super buggy, and they do that because they release mod tools and the community always fixes it. If for any Bethesda game, you could go and find unofficial fan patch that fix all the game-breaking bugs that Bethesda didn't QA test for.
Can't every game like sell mods now, you're telling me?
Not every game. Well, they have to partner with Valve to do it, but...
Where can I find this on Steam Store so I can just look at it while you talk?
You could just go to the workshop. Just go to Skyrim Workshop.
Okay. Continue.
But see, here's the thing. But since modders can now be paid for this work, you'll have this inevitable thing happen where Fallout 4 or Elder Scrolls 6 comes out, whichever one comes out first, and they'll be broken as fuck, and there'll be a community patch that fixes it. But then the guy decides, well, you know what? I worked pretty hard on this community patch. I'm gonna go ahead and put it up on the Steam Workshop for $1. So if you want to fix all these problems in your game, you can pay me $1. Okay, cool. That's fine. And then he has 1 million downloads. Alright, so that means he just made a cool $250,000, right? Awesome, great job. He worked hard, got 250 grand. Thanks for fixing the game. But Valve and Bethesda get $750,000 to split, and they did nothing. They did no work. Bethesda released an unfinished fucking game and got paid. They put in no effort, and they got paid for it. You understand how fucking stupid that is? That you can release a broken game and then get paid more money on top of the sales you already got for work done by the community.
Yeah, that's dumb. That's fucking stupid.
It's fucking stupid. It's fucking stupid.
It just has, I mean, that's just, it's honestly, like, we were talking about it earlier, like, this is the trend PC gaming seems to be going. Like, I'm from an outsider looking in who left, like, PC gaming a long time ago and decided to, you know, go PlayStation. Like, I bought a PS3 and I never looked back, and then I bought a PS4 and I never bothered with PC games. And I just, like, looking from outside, I feel like this is just the trend it's been going. Like, it feels like
there's more and more monetization, man.
Everything is, you know, PC gaming is now where you go to buy a game, try it out, and see if you like it, and give the developers like feedback and stuff, and tell them like, hey, this works and this doesn't work, and then they release on consoles and make a lot of money.
Yeah,
and I feel like really that's what PC gaming has becoming.
Yeah,
and I don't necessarily disagree with it because it makes sense from a business standpoint. But I mean, for someone who PC games, I mean, it sucks. But
it's shitty,
gaming because PC gamers were treated like second rate citizens. I mean, they got treated like shit. Like, oh hey, you want Arkham Asylum? You're gonna wait 2 weeks. Hey, you want Assassin's Creed 2? You're gonna wait like 3 months. Fuck you.
Yeah, no, it's really awful. How the PC community gets treated, and it's not, and the funny thing is they blame it on piracy. If you guys didn't pirate so much, you know, we'd support you more. But the fucked up thing is last generation, there were just as many, if not more, pirates on 360 and PS3. That's the fucked up thing. You know, all those leaks of games leaking early and shit, it wasn't on PC. It was people getting the leaked copies on, their pirated 360s and PS3s. That's the fucked up thing. And they'll delay it to put in extra DRM to stop piracy, but it doesn't stop piracy. It just pisses people off, and it's just bullshit.
I really like looking at these fake protest mods. I really, really like them. Like the one that we found.
I haven't seen them.
Like the fact that there is the highest selling one was a $99, you know, gargantuan genitals mod. And now they have like boob mods and shit. They're just like, people are paying for it. I don't know. I just don't it's crazy, but it's hilarious from like on the outside looking in, but I can understand where people would be pissed.
Oh yeah. So as I was going to say, see the real major problem with this down the line too is that, the game industry is full of slippery slopes where it's like, first Horse Armor DLC came out for, ironically enough, another Bethesda game, Oblivion. And everyone was pissed about Horse Armor. Do you remember that?
Yes.
How pissed off everyone was that, what, you're going to charge us this much for fucking Horse Armor in Oblivion? Are you out of your goddamn mind? That's so stupid. Why would anyone pay for that? And everyone was like, well, just calm down. You just don't have to buy it. You just don't have to buy it. It's just DLC. It doesn't matter. It's okay. It's just more content for games. This is good. This is good for games, right? And then, you know, that turned into pre-order bonuses and disc-locked content and fucking season passes and microtransactions inside of $60 games, and then on PC, early access. And now we're at paid mods. Now we're at something that's been free for 20 years being paid for. And so what's next? Where do you go next? Because you know they're going to look at other ways to monetize this. So you'll probably have, hey, buy early access for our mod tools, beta test them, and get them up to snuff. And then, you know, you can release your mods on the day mod tools officially release. Or, hey, you can pre-order the game now and get access to the beta access to mod tools so you can develop your mods alongside the game to sell your mods when the game launches. Shit like that. And if that sounds far-fetched, I mean, you're wrong, because that's where shit's going. That's where shit's been going. That's why we're at where we're at now with season passes and early access and paid mods, because it went down that slippery slope.
Yeah, it seems sort of ridiculous, like, and I don't think it's going to get better.
Yeah, no, And here's the thing too. If you're on console, you're not gonna be safe from this kind of shit forever. Think about it like this. DMC, Definitive Edition. That game was, it was like a $60 re-release, right?
Right?
It was $60.
Maybe
right?
It might have been 40.
Might have been 40. It was $40 to $60 re-release, right? Some of the content in Definitive Edition was actually community made mods. So they were already selling you mods on console.
No, I mean, that's a weird case.
But I mean, it's just an example of console players being like, oh, well, this won't affect me. Well, it will. Think about it like this. You're on a PSN or you're on live browsing the store one day and you see for Elder Scrolls 6, buy the mod pack, which is like 10 community weapons and 5 armors ported from the PC version for only $9.99.
I just want to...
That doesn't even sound fucking far-fetched, right? like you hear that advertisement, you're like, oh, that's just a regular DLC, and it's actually just community-made content that they're selling you.
I just want to name the best mods I've seen on here. This one's called okay. Fish Companion. It's 25 cents, and it adds a part cyborg fish, part cyborg gentleman companion to the game. This one's called Kill Jurlov. It's 25 cents and allows you to kill Jurlov, a quest giver NPC. This one's called Epic Helgen Bear Overhaul. It's $99, and it makes the bear in Helgen Keep caves much larger, resulting in a much challenging, realistic, dramatic, immersive, and lore-friendly final battle. This one's called Rubbish. It adds rubbish to Skyrim. It's $2.49. This one's called Steam Main Menu Replacer. 49 cents. To celebrate paid mains on Steam, here's a brand new main menu screen with a Steam theme. And literally all it says is exploitation in exclamation points next to it. And has a Steam logo behind it. This one's called Chicken Companion. It's 49 cents. It adds a chicken companion wearing a helmet and backpack to the game. This one's called Microtransactions. It's $49.99. Do you have not much time? Or do you just not want to ask, get through the game as quick as possible? Well, you're damn lucked. I'm introducing Microtransactions, an easy way to get an item as long as you work for it. All the money goes straight to charity. Me. And then there's one called Extra Apple that adds, every time there's an apple, it adds an extra apple. And then the last one... And that one's $29. And then the last one on here is Golden Potato Mod, which is $9.99. And it just adds a golden potato in random spots throughout the game. And then the one I was talking about earlier is called Gaben's Genital HD Resolution Mod. And I don't know what the fuck it does. They took down the Horse Genitals Mod that I was telling you about earlier. I cannot fucking find it. But that was a thing that happened when this thing started, so. I just wanted to name some because
there's no regulation. That's the thing. If you look at it, Valve is like, yeah, we have no regulation on what can be put up, what can be charged for what. And, the thing is, a lot of mods actually, use other mods for dependencies and shit, and there's script extenders and stuff like that.
Oh my God.
That mod authors don't have permission to sell and stuff like that. So it's a whole big clusterfuck within the modding community, and then, you know, you have everyone uploading joke mods because it's fucking stupid.
I urge everyone to go, to the Skyrim page on Steam, and then go to the workshop and look paid items under review. You'll have yourself a good laugh.
Yeah.
From us to you. There you go.
It's pretty ridiculous.
Can't say we never did anything for you.
But anyway, back to the mod pack, you know. That doesn't sound far-fetched, right? That just sounds like a regular DLC thing you'd see, right?
I mean, yes, until I've seen it.
Until you've seen it, yeah. It's basically what it is. It's turning the community into a DLC mill. So now that, so Bethesda releases the game for $60, they release DLC for $15 a piece, and then they nickel and dime you $2 here, $3 there for mods for your game. And that's what it is. They're not doing it to help the community because the community can't even cash out till they make an absurd amount of money on it. They only get 25% back. And it's just a way for them to nickel and dime you for more and more DLC.
It's so
if you don't
weird.
Believe me, if you don't believe me that these companies will do that shit, there was a marketing summit last year for game companies, for developers and publishers, and the guy that was representing Ubisoft in his presentation, he said, what we really want to do is turn $60 customers into $200 customers. So they're absolutely looking for ways to turn you from just buying a game and buying a season pass into buying a whole lot more.
I feel like this is how what you should do with games, though. And this is what I felt like the original idea of DLC was right. And bear with me, okay? I felt like what DLC should have been is I go to the store, right? I buy Mario Kart 8, okay? And I really love Mario Kart 8. I do everything in the game. And, you know, 2 months down the line, I want to play more Mario Kart 8, so more content comes out. And I give them more money, okay? 3 months goes down the line, I still love Mario Kart 8, I want to go back to it. I buy more content. And I feel like that's what DLC should be like. For instance, like, Infamous Second Son, I love that game, but it was really short, I felt like I wanted more of it. Like, four months down the line, they came out with more DLC. It was that First Strike thing, it was like $15, it was more... You know, Second Son. I felt like that's what DLC right is, and everything else is wrong. Like these season passes where, you know, you're paying $50 up front, and you're getting, you're assured all the DLC, but maybe it's not good. Like, what if, you know, you really like the game, but the DLC that comes out for it's bad? Like, remember Fallout?
Yeah.
Like, Fallout had, like, the first DLC sucked. The second DLC was okay. The third and fourth DLC were phenomenal, and then the fifth DLC sucked. So if I had bought that season pass, I would have paid $50, gotten two good DLC packs out of it, you know?
Yep.
I mean, I ended up buying all of them, but I'm saying, like, you know, if you want to, like, you only want good content, like, that's the idea behind DLC. Like, that's why, what was the game that got it right? Was it Red Dead Redemption?
It's probably a Rockstar game. They do a really good job.
Red Dead Redemption had that Undead Nightmare that came out, like, six months after the game, and it was a whole other campaign.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's more of an expansion than DLC. Rockstar does expansions.
And that's what I really like about what Wolfenstein's doing. I loved Wolfenstein New Order, this time last year. And now it's this time again, you know, in the new year, and I'm getting more Wolfenstein. And I'm super excited about it. I went off and I spent $20. I'm fine with spending $20. Even if it's not that good, it's more Wolfenstein's what I already like. I feel like that's what DLC should be. A DLC should be a night for the developer to make you not want to sell your game. Not to nickel and dime you the fuck, just trying to the fuck of it, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
It's stupid that I buy a game like Assassin's Creed, and I have to be forced into buying all this dumb shit, you know?
Yeah,
I feel like it should be expanding the game and making it better. Like, for instance, Witcher 3. Witcher 3 is doing it perfect, and this is another reason I'm supporting this game, because originally, if you listen to the first few episodes of this podcast, I was like, I don't know, this game doesn't look that great, but I've done a lot of research, and what Witcher 3 is doing is it's taking, you know, this huge adventure, and it's going to give you a bunch of little free DLC drops, but then there's going to be two expansions, one in November of this year, and then one in March of next year. So if you still really love The Witcher 3, and you still think it's a great game, you can go back to it. And I think that's what DLC should be.
Yeah, I mean, it's expansion packs. That's what it is. Expansion. I mean, and they used to be like a PC only thing for a long time, where, you know, a PC game would get an expansion pack and it would add like whole new fucking campaign, and if it was multiplayer, add like new multiplayer stuff, all sorts of stuff like that. And it was really fucking cool. Expansion packs were always really, really great. People loved them because it was literally, I'm paying $20 to $40 for a ton of new content for what's basically a new fucking game.
Exactly.
And, you know, and then that's what Rockstar did with Undead Nightmare, and then with Lost in the Damned and Ballad of Gay Tony.
Those were great. All those were great. Every single one of those
Absolutely.
Was great. And I feel like that's what Dying Light is doing with their DLC. You know, they haven't had – a lot of the DLC has been kind of like whatever. And granted, they're not in the right. They did a season pass with a bunch of random crap that I didn't care about. But this Guzak expansion, from what I've heard, is it's a whole new adventure inside of Dying Light. And it takes place in a new area, like in a football stadium, soccer football, not American football stadium. And it's like a whole new adventure. And so like that kind of stuff is perfect. Like that's awesome. Like Bloodborne will probably do an expansion, I have a feeling, you know, down the line.
And no, they won't.
Oh, they won't?
Probably not. I don't know. I don't know what From Software is doing. They had an expansion for, Dark Souls 1, which was really good. It was the best content in the game, was the DLC for Dark Souls 1.
You know, Assassin's Creed
4... The DLC for Dark Souls 2 also really made it a lot better. The DLC ended up being pretty good for Dark Souls 2. But
before we talk about DLC too much, I just want to name just a few more real quick. Like, Black Flag had the Freedom Cry, which was actually really cool. And also, Shadow of Mordor was bad. Like, that DLC was bad. Yeah. I bought a season pass, I got DLC less than 6 months after the game came out, and both of them were bad.
Yeah.
And that's wrong DLC.
But, and the other problem is that you buy a season pass, but sometimes a season pass isn't even all the fucking DLC. It's like the first three, and then they're like, oh, we decided to make five more after that, buy the second season pass, fuck you.
Yeah.
Or like, the season pass includes these three, but we're also gonna release some in between those three that you don't get, so you gotta pay for those too. It's just bullshit. It's all a bunch of bullshit.
And I feel like it's getting worse.
Yeah. Remember Call of Duty Elite?
Oh my god. I bought that.
What was it? It was like, pay $50 to like, have clan access and more cloud saves. It was fucking stupid. It was so dumb.
Yeah, that was dumb. I don't know. I'm hoping, you know, eventually gamers will vote for their wallets and DLC will be fixed from what it is now, like the cancer it is. But I don't know. We'll see. Witcher 3, you're doing it right. I just want to say, I've never really known much about CD Projekt Red, but
they're a great developer.
Their DLC plan is fucking phenomenal from what I've read. So we'll see if they keep it up or not, you know?
I hope so, man.
I just hope Batman doesn't fuck me. I really do. So speaking of games that are coming out this year, yes. Mad Max.
Mad Max.
Have you ever seen the movie? I recently downloaded it. I was going to watch it. But I think I might finish Daredevil tonight instead. I don't know yet. But Mad Max is coming out this year on September 1st, the same day as Metal Gear Solid 5, actually, which is a little weird. The first gameplay trailer came out for it this week. What'd you think of this game, Jake?
You know, the gameplay trailer looks really cool. The problem is that I don't know if it's pre-rendered and scripted and shit.
But, I think it was scripted, but the thing is, I think it's still gameplay. Like, there's actual gameplay in that. Like, you see the back of the character and him playing as the character doing stuff.
Yeah. The only problem with that, though, is if it's like a pre-rendered kind of thing. Like, the Battlefront trailer was all in-game footage, but it was all pre-rendered bullshit.
Yeah.
I think it looks beautiful. The game looks fucking beautiful, and I hope it actually looks that good at launch. I mean, we've had a recent rash of games that, you know, they show the trailer for them, the gameplay trailer, and it looks fucking beautiful and amazing, and then the game launches, and it doesn't look anything like the reveal trailer.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that doesn't get... hoping there's no downgrade.
Well, it's made by the guys graphics. It's made by the guys who made Just Cause 2 and the upcoming 3, Just Cause 3 is actually getting a gameplay reveal this week coming up. So next Friday's episode, we'll be talking about Just Cause 3. So that's super exciting. I love Just Cause 2. It's one of my favorite PS3 games.
Yeah, Just Cause 2 is a really good game.
The one thing I'm worried about is Mad Max Fury Road's coming out this year. And I feel like, even though this game isn't coming out with the movie, I feel like they wanted to keep it as close to the movie as possible without, you know, having it go too far. So that's why it's coming out in September as opposed to, like, in October or November where it could get a little bit more polished. That's the one thing I'm worried about.
Yeah.
I think it looks cool. It looks like a fun game.
It looks cool. It's got some cool features. You can customize your car and shit and soup it up. The combat looks something like... It looks kind of like the Arkham games, which is fine.
I feel like it needs that Shadow of Mordor Nemesis system, and a lot of people have been saying this.
Yeah!
This game needs the Nemesis system, and I think WB owns it?
WB does own it, so it's very possible that they could put the Nemesis system in. We'll find out as it gets closer to release.
I mean, we'll see about it.
We'll know more at E3.
Yeah. Yeah, and I just think that what they showed is, like, really exciting. Like, you know, you start out the game with nothing, kind of like how Metroid does. You know, you start out with the game with nothing, and you build up everything. So, like, you have to build your car, you have to get a better car, you have to upgrade your car, you have to upgrade your armor, better guns, you know.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
And the fighting system just looks really good. Like, this could be a sleeper hit, I feel like. A lot of people, I mean...
It could either be a sleeper hit or it could be a total fucking bomb.
Yeah, it could be a total fucking bomb. But I mean, it looks like there's a lot of painstaking work, you know, put into it. But at the same time, it's a game in a desert. And one thing I've learned about games in the desert is they can be pretty boring.
Yeah.
Like, there could be, like, a lot of, like...
But I don't know, it was really, like, the trailer was really fucking beautiful with the storms and stuff like that.
But, like, there's not a lot else in the world is the only thing I'd be worried about. Like, I mean, there's just, like, a little bit of ruins.
Sand
and a little bit of ruins, you know? And, you know, that's cool and all, but I just... I just worry. That's the only thing I worry about. I'm like this, after seeing this trailer, I'm hype. I think this game will be cool. But I'm not gonna like go out and pre-order. Like personally, I'm gonna tell everyone who listens to our podcast, do not pre-order games that are more than a month out. Just don't do it.
Yeah.
You know, if you're hyped for The Witcher 3, and it's, you know, April 24th, go pre-order Witcher 3. That's cool. But don't pre-order Batman yet. Just wait.
Yeah.
Just wait.
Just wait till you see more. Always wait till you see more.
And because you're going to see some at E3, and, you know, maybe you'll see something you don't like, or maybe you'll see even more you like and a reason to pre-order, but just don't pre-order too early, because I feel like the pre-order culture is what's leading to people making shit games. You know?
Yeah, it is. I mean, pre-ordering... You used to pre-order because the game store would get a game in and they would fucking sell out of the game, so you needed to pre-order to make sure you get it.
Yeah.
But now you don't really have to worry about that. And, because I mean, you could get a game pretty much anywhere now. You know, GameStop doesn't have it, let me go down the street to Best Buy. Best Buy doesn't have it, let me go down the street to Target or Walmart or let me go on Amazon or whatever. You can get a game like that now.
Yeah.
And so that's why they have the pre-order
bonus. I like pre-ordering, though. Shit. Like, I like pre-ordering, you know, knowing that, you know, you're going to go to that store that day and pick up the game. Like,
and pick up the game, yeah.
It's like a good, I mean, it's a good feeling for a gamer.
Yeah. The only problem is that, you know, they use that to nickel and dime you with pre-order bonuses, like, with that have disc lock content. Like, fucking Goro fucking is on the disc. But, oh, either buy him after launch or pre-order to get him. And you're, like, pre-ordering the game, and you might not be sure if you like it or not, so you got it. And then you're like, oh, well, I fucking hate Mortal Kombat X. So this was stupid. Why'd I pre-order it?
Yeah, that's exactly how I felt.
Like that.
But, like, I feel like one thing about pre-ordering, and I know we're getting off the topic of Mad Max, but, like, the thing about pre-ordering is a game like Watch Dogs could come out, right? And Watch Dogs... Since the day that trailer came out the first time at E3, I'm sure the pre-order numbers were off the chain. And they knew it was going to sell gangbusters because of all these pre-orders. So all you have to do, you know, is push back the review embargo until after the game's out at midnight. You already get all those midnight sales, all those gamers who are buying at midnight already know it, and they play it, and it's too
late.
And
they have no idea
it's a
what's
shit game.
For them.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And that's why I see a lot of review in progresses now, I feel like.
Yeah. Well, in any game where it's like it has a review embargo that doesn't lift until the day it actually launches, I wouldn't pre-order.
I don't know. I can't say that. Like, Wolfenstein: The New Order didn't lift until the day of, and that game's fucking phenomenal.
Well, I mean, I'm not saying that every game that does that is going to be bad.
But it's risky.
I'm just saying it's smarter.
Yeah. And
because,
I think
Wolfenstein was a good case of, you know, oh, but it was actually good. But then you get lots of games like Watch Dogs where it's, oh, the game's actually really fucking bad.
Yeah. Like, that's the thing is, like, after E3, I'm sure pre-order numbers go off the, you know, after, you know, when Black Ops 3 gets announced, you know, when going into our next topic, gets announced this Sunday, you know, the pre-order numbers are going to go off the chain. And I just want to urge you guys, if there's anything you listen to us, is just don't pre-order until, like, it's a month out.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, if you're super hyped for Call of Duty and you want that poster, just wait. Just please wait.
It's smarter to wait. You don't lose anything by waiting, really. You have a better chance
of not getting burned
of a product that you expect.
Don't pre-order Star Wars Battlefront until we've seen the gameplay, please. Please.
I would not even recommend pre-ordering Star Wars.
I know a ton of people pre-ordering Star Wars Battlefront, but I'm telling you, just don't. Please, just don't. Because that makes them think that they don't need to show us gameplay in order for us to be like, oh yeah.
Exactly.
You know, this game's going to sell like hotcakes. I mean, it is going to sell like hotcakes no matter what. Whatever bullshit they throw out.
It's got Star Wars.
And you know, it's funny, a lot of companies, a lot of like big websites this week have been talking about it, actually. And how like there is reasons to be skeptical about it. You know,
which is good. That's really good.
You know, this isn't the Battlefront we knew. And that's what we talked about last week. You know, it's not the Battlefront we knew. I feel like E3 will really decide what this game's going to be. If it's going to be a really cool, you know, Star Wars game that just has a little bit of Battlefield, or it's just literally a Battlefield clone. But you're moving on. Black Ops 3 had this amazing teaser trailer this week. Just fucking amazing. Like...
Yeah, it was really good.
Like,
I'm not normally hyped for Call of Duty, but
the storytelling in these games through trailers is getting better every game. I don't know what it is, but the storytelling in these trailers is just fucking phenomenal. like,
well, I've always liked the Treyarch Call of Duty games. I'm hoping that, you know, they had that cool campaign in Black Ops 2 where your choices, like, you may actually made choices and it changed shit up.
Well, I'm sure
like,
that
legitimately
more so.
Changed a bunch of, like, small details that changed larger details and stuff like that. That was really fucking cool, and I hope that's in Black Ops 3.
Oh, I bet it will be. Like, I'm pretty excited. Like, let's talk about what the trailer shows. The trailer basically shows from, when does the trailer start? It starts in, like, what, 2000?
Something like that.
Starts
in 2000. Basically, the trailer, it's kind of like a Deus Ex premise where people are being augmented and, like, cyborgs and stuff like that, and whether it's ethical to do that.
But there's,
or
like,
not.
Prejudice against people who are augmented.
Yeah, exactly. It's basically the plot of Deus Ex, but it's Call of Duty.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the military, because it's the military, you know, they've got like super soldiers, but they're denying their existence and stuff
the
like that.
The whistleblower scene.
What are the morals and ethics of that?
That whistleblower scene in that teaser trailer gets me so freaking excited just because, like, it reminds me of the whole Edward Snowden thing, but like the fact that,
yeah,
like, the military is like doing things with fucking augmented, like, cybernetic human beings that, like, shouldn't be done. And he says
that
it, like,
way ahead of anything that's going on.
Yeah.
Like,
and then it shows that basketball player, and, like, you see the augmented, like, the augmentation in his eye.
Yeah.
And then he goes and shoots a basket. I was like, oh my god, this is the coolest fucking teaser trailer I've ever seen for a Call of Duty game. Like, Advanced Warfare was pretty cool, but damn. The story for this game,
yeah,
is insane. And I can't wait to see what the actual premise is, because I'm really hoping it's, like, really just a civil war between, like, where the military has just, like, activated all these augmented people and, like, they're all against, like, you know, the people who are not augmented. Like, you're playing as, because if it's Black Ops 3, it's going to have the same characters. So you'll have the,
yeah,
the Black Ops 2 guys. I don't know what their names are.
You'll also have, apparently Mason's returning.
Mason, that's it.
Apparently Mason isn't actually dead, and it's going to,
man. Well, Mason's son isn't dead.
Well, Mason's son isn't
dead. And neither is Harper.
Yeah.
Harper and Mason's son. Mason dies, I remember.
Yeah, Mason dies in Black Ops 2, but apparently he might not have actually died.
Oh, well, I'm fine with that, too.
It's a rumor. I don't know. It'll be fun.
Like,
it'll
Black Ops 2's conclusion was really interesting, how, like, different choices you made actually gave you different endings. I'm sure it was A, B, C, or D, but still, like, it was cool to
but
have
there
a
were a
game.
Lot of things that changed it up and changed up how missions played out and shit.
Oh, yeah.
Like, a lot of stuff.
I just hope they don't bring that stupid RPG mode or whatever, the RTS mode they had. That was sort of dumb.
Yeah, that wasn't fun.
It wasn't necessarily not fun, but at the same time, it was like, this is sort of dumb. Like, I don't want to do these anymore. And I was glad there was only five of them.
Yeah.
But, like, there's so much that can be done. And my only problem with Call of Duty is I like the story modes enough to buy the games. But a lot of people are, you know, a lot of people, I mean, most people just buy them for the multiplayer. And
yeah.
I'm kind of sick of Call of Duty multiplayer. I
mean,
if they do something cool, I guess, you know, maybe I'll try it. But usually I buy these games for the campaign. I'm not going to lie. Like,
yeah.
I bought a lot of these $60 games for, like, you know, the 6 and 7 hour campaigns, and I enjoy every minute of it. And sometimes I'll go back and play the co-op with some friends and stuff. But, like, I just really fucking love how, and, like, crazy these stories are getting. Like, they're not just your standard Michael Bay fare. Like, you know, oh, shit.
Well, Call of Duty is your standard Michael Bay fare. But
I mean, like, they kind of mix it up. You know, like, Advanced Warfare was kind of different. Like, there was more going on with the whole Kevin Spacey Atlas thing.
Well, I think that was just more due to Kevin Spacey being amazing.
Well, yeah. But, I mean, you know what I get, what I'm going, right? Like, they're changing it up. Like, it's a little different. It's not just a military shooter. Like, there's an actual interesting, some interesting shit going on in the world.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I just, I don't know, I'm excited. Like, I'm really excited for this. I hope it's cool. I get hyped for Call of Duty every year, and I get burned by the multiplayer, but I've never been burned by single player. I mean, maybe Ghost,
yeah,
but I wasn't hyped for Ghost. I thought Ghost was stupid.
Well, Ghost was straight garbage.
Ghost was a bad game. Like, this and Advanced Warfare, I have feeling. And Black Ops 2, I wasn't burned by. Sure, I was burned on multiplayer, but the campaign for
Black
Ops 2 was phenomenal. Advanced Warfare had a great campaign. Like, the campaigns of these games just keep getting better. And I'm excited to play this new one. I'm pretty hype. I hope it's good.
No, I agree.
I'm not going to pre-order.
It's actually kind of funny. Everyone shits on Activision for, you know, being greedy and, you know, starting the whole DLC season pass kind of bullshit. And, but they're not releasing multiplayer only games for $60. You know, Call of Duty, most people buy it for the multiplayer, but it has single player offerings and shit too.
There's a lot of content.
And fun fact, Call of Duty has always run at 60 frames. Fun fact, Call of Duty has always run at 60 frames. PC, console, and not a lot of other shooters can say that.
See, Activision's not that bad, guys.
I mean, they can be pretty bad, but, I mean, compared to EA or
not
Ubisoft.
Not as bad as some other companies.
Or Bethesda. Yeah.
Yeah, that's one thing. I mean, I think Destiny was bad. I'm not gonna lie there.
Yeah,
I think Activision fucked up on that game. And, like, I guess they announced DLC this week, and I'm like, I don't fucking care.
Yeah, I got an email about it. Check out this sick DLC. And I'm like, absolutely not. I don't even own Destiny anymore. Fuck you.
See, I traded that game in, and I haven't looked back.
Yeah, I remember you were so hyped for it coming out, and I was telling you not to be. And then, like, 3 days later, you're like, this game fucking sucks.
I thought it'd be good, because, you know, it was... I mean,
I warned you.
It was Bungie. And everyone's like, Bungie Halo's so good. And I was like, well.
It's not the same Bungie. Yeah. Most of the people left. Most of the people left Bungie.
Yeah. That game sucks. Like, I know people who still play that game. I know people who still play that game, and I just don't understand how.
I don't get it either.
I don't get how you can still play that game and still be like, oh, I'm playing the same fucking strikes over and over again in the same raid. Like, I understand.
It's like playing WoW.
Yeah, but WoW has more content.
Yeah,
like
that's only because WoW's more.
Destiny has no content whatsoever. Like, there's next to no content in that game. Like,
yeah.
I bought the $100 edition, and I have the season pass, and if I wanted to, and I wanted to rent Destiny, I could play the camp, that stuff, but I just don't give a fuck.
See, that's the other thing. If you buy, like, a game and get the season pass for it when you pre-order it, what happens if you don't actually like the game?
Yeah, that's why I don't do season passes anymore.
You can trade the game in, you recoup some of your loss, but you still got that fucking season pass with all that useless DLC.
See, I bought the Call of Duty Advanced Warfare game that came with the season pass because my girlfriend wanted it. Like, she plays Call of Duty. Like, she comes over and plays Call of Duty on the PlayStation while I kind of do homework or something. And, like, I'll buy it for that, because, you know, it's like, well, whatever, you know. And I got Hardline Season Pass, because I fucking love Hardline. I think Hardline's better than Battlefield 4 in some ways. Like, sure, the maps are smaller, but the game's just more fun, I feel like.
At least it worked at launch.
It works, yeah. I mean, you know, the bullshit's still there. You know, multiplayer games, the bullshit's there, no matter what.
And it's always going to be there, yeah.
I feel like multiplayer games, there's no getting away from bullshit. I mean, even now, like... a fighting game like Mortal Kombat, I've heard there's a million scorpions and a million people just spamming Kung Jin bullshit.
Oh, yeah. That's how it is in every online game. People will seek it the fastest, most bullshit way to win and just repeat that over and over and over again.
It's because people are lazy. They don't want to fucking learn all the tricks and stuff, so.
And, like, well, and if you're good enough, you know, you can easily just beat the shit out of them, but it's annoying as fuck.
Yeah.
It's not fun.
That's one thing that pissed me off about Street Fighter. I love that game, but, like... you know,
people would just do the dumbest shit online.
Oh, yeah, like the guys who just sit there and go, Hadouken, 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 Hadouken. It's like, God damn, I could fucking get around this, but holy shit, stop. Like,
yeah,
please
yeah.
stop. But, damn.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know. Like, I've said this a million times on this podcast. Multiplayer games just piss me the fuck off.
Yeah, I can't play them as long anymore. I used to be really into, like, competitive multiplayer and stuff, but...
I'm curious.
Now I'm just like, man, I hop on Master Chief Collection and people are doing like fucking like pro strats and shit like that and getting mad like in casual unranked games and I'm just like, I just want to play some fucking Halo.
I'm curious, you know, when this new Halo game comes out, like what the multiplayer for it's going to be like the community, like now that gaming, multiplayer gaming has become such a, you know, a crucial part to gaming, like how this game will be affected by... multiplayer trends and stuff, you know, because Halo's been around, you know, it's one of the oldest multiplayer shooters around, on consoles at least, you know.
So yeah.
It'll be interesting to see how this game ends up reacting when it comes to that stuff, but we'll see.
Well, I mean, the beta was really fun, and the patch notes they brought out.
I've played countless games that the beta was great, and then the final game was shit, so.
Yeah, I know.
That's not saying much. I played a lot of games in which the beta was off phenomenal, and you get the final game, it's like, oh. This isn't very fun. People are being real assholes because of this thing. Or this thing shouldn't be in the game. This thing's fucking annoying. It keeps killing me. They keep spamming this thing. What the fuck? This thing! You know, that type of thing.
Where was quality assurance?
Yeah, it just doesn't exist.
Who tested this shit?
Hopefully.
I mean, it's a good sign, though. It's a good sign, because it was better than Halo 4, and then they released patch notes, like, a month after the beta ended that fixed a lot of the problems the community had. Mm-hmm. So,
I love it when games have betas, honest to God. I love it. And they're, like, 6 or 7 months before the game comes out. I love it.
Yep.
Because it allows you to get an idea of the game, and it allows you to give, you know, feedback to the developer that they can use towards, you know, that day one patch, which, you know, it's just a trend now. But that day one patch that'll fix the game, or, you know, the stuff that before the game comes out they can fix. Like, you know, I feel like the Hardline beta they did at E3 last year actually made it a better game when it came out.
Yeah, probably very much did, yeah.
And I'm excited to say that Call of Duty Black Ops 3 is going to have a beta from what it looks like.
As long as I don't have to pre-order some bullshit.
You probably have to pre-order to play the beta, but we'll see.
Pre-order this new game to play the beta. I'm like,
I pre-ordered a Siege to try it, so I'll be able to give my impressions of Siege. Yeah, it's pre-order to get access to the beta for Black Ops 3.
Well, I mean,
if you pre-order it and you don't like the beta, you can always just get rid of your pre-order. So,
yeah, you can always get your
and beta. I hate it that it's a trend, but it's the only way to try these betas. And I want to try games before they're out, so I know what I'm buying. And I hate that, you know, we have to pre-order it in order to, you know, try a game out.
To do that, yeah.
And like we said, we don't want you to pre-order.
You know what I hate, though? When a game has a beta, but the beta comes out, like, 2 months before the game launches, because that's not a fucking beta.
Oh, no. Not at all, no.
Or when a game's in beta and then it launches 6 months later and the game plays exactly like it did in beta and you're like, oh, cool, great. You didn't take any of the beta feedback. It was just a way to get people hyped for the game.
Yeah, it's stupid. Yeah.
Or when they say it's an alpha and the game launches in 2 months and you're like, it's not fucking alpha.
Like ESO is.
It's obviously like a final build.
The ESO PS4 beta came out yesterday and that game comes out in June. So it's like, okay, this really isn't a beta, but okay. And that game's not very good. Like, I know a bunch of people were hyped for it, and it's like, why are you hyped for...
Elder Scrolls Online is terrible.
I have friends who love that game. I don't understand how.
I don't get it.
I don't like MMOs anymore, to be honest with you.
I don't so much mind MMOs as it's just that...
WildStar was, like, my only hope. WildStar was supposed to be my only hope in that game. I felt it was kind of trash.
WildStar went really downhill because it was really catered towards a market that doesn't exist anymore.
What was that?
Hardcore MMO raiders.
Yeah.
That's what it was catered towards, and that market doesn't really exist anymore. It used to. It doesn't now.
That's true. Okay. Anything else?
No, I don't really have anything else to say. I think we covered everything.
Okay. Well, as you can see, a much less... ranty / angry episode this week, I think.
Yeah. Only one angry rant.
And send us an email too if you like the ranting stuff. We can do more rants. Jake hates a lot of shit. I hate a lot of shit.
Oh yeah.
I know specifically. I could name a few games that Jake will give you another Mass Effect 3 type rant for. So remember, send us an email. It's It's
PressXToWin@ProvenGamer.com is our email.
I don't need to memorize that. Okay, we will see you next week with our impressions of some Just Cause 3 gameplay.
Black Ops 3 and whatever dumb shit the industry decides to spit out.
Yeah, maybe we'll have some crazy news next week. I just want some new games get announced. I'm pretty hyped for E3. It's getting pretty close. We're almost a month out now.
Yep.
Oh my God. Oh my God, what does Sony have planned? Holy shit.
I can't wait. I'm super excited. I've taken all those days off work, and I'm just going to sit around the fucking pillow fort and watch
E3. Well, I think we're going to do something regarding E3, too. I want to figure out something. We'll post something on the Facebook group, too.
Yeah,
ask you questions. Because we want to know what you guys would rather have, like a podcast for each conference, or, you know, a podcast for the whole day. I mean, the problem is, you know, we can't get to E3. Maybe next year.
Not this year, at least. Maybe next year.
Maybe next year, but we can't get to E3 right now. So, like, we'd like to know what would be the best thing for us to get the information out for you so you don't have to, like, scour the internet.
Yeah.
All right.
We also might be going to PAX Prime later this year. We'll see how that turns out. But, hey, maybe.
Hopefully, yeah. We'll see. All right, we'll see you next week.
Take care, everyone.
Bye.
Thanks for listening.